Are you doing sound effects, or do you need me to?
Well, you can do them, seeing they're all hunky-dory with you, and I can't do the ding. Here, have the ding. Here.
Aww, you're getting the ding.
I will bypass the ding, but I will do this.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 709 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today is November 13th, 2022. And I am your host today, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And joining us today on the show, we have Miss Kim Woods.
Howdy, howdy, everybody.
Howdy, howdy. Spinning the decks, Robin Tate.
Hello, everybody. It's me. It's Robin Tate. Hello. I'm in Ballymena. I'm in Northern Ireland. I'm Bongo the Sane. Bongo's Bits. Here you are. Here I am. Are you long in?
No, not long in at all. But for those that don't know, Northern Ireland, just north of Mexico City. anyway, also on the podcast, looking a little bit pale and a little bit rounded, Mr. Pete Chin.
Hello, everyone. I'm stuck in a hole. Apparently my scope's black. Yeah, everything's black around me. I don't know what I am on the Twitch feed. I'm not seeing it yet.
You forgot to pay the electrical bill.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
It happens. It happens. All right. Hey, if you're new to the show, unlike Boomer, who is not new to the show, but if you're new to the show, we're a video game podcast. We talk about video games. We talk about life. We talk about just all kinds of media stuff. So sit back, relax, enjoy it. We are on every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the U.K., 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast. And if you're out in the Central Time Zone, we apologize to you. You could have done better, but you're stuck with us. And that's 3 p.m. there. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. And, that's the whole enchilada. That's what you're getting today. It should be a fun show. Boomer, you're not newish. I mean, you might be a little green around the ears, but we've known you for a bit. All right, let's get into some birthdays real fast. Stu Lecky. We don't have an exact date on Stu. Carbon dating like a tree. some estimates go as high as 103. So we're not sure. But he is celebrating a birthday today. And not today. Is it today? No. On the 16th. It's coming up.
No. 3 days.
I just want to make everybody's birthday today. Why is that? Because I want to play them a birthday song. Okay, enough of that.
Are we fucking psyched, though? I mean, really?
Well, for 103, I would be absolutely. That's some serious years.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point.
He may not really be 103, but again, we have no way of confirming or denying this at this point. So, as like Twitter, if it's on the internet, it must be true. Therefore, we have made Stu 103. Congratulations. All right, let's talk some story time.
Okay.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
I don't know why, but I feel like I need to be whispering excitedly for some reason.
Whatever.
Anyway.
What's that comedian that does that?
Yeah. That's Jim Gaffigan. Yeah.
Jim Gaffigan, yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Pete, since you are literally blacked out on my screen, what have you been up to?
Well, today was my son's birthday.
Yeah,
and,
Wait, hold on, Pete. Hold on.
It's your birthday. Yes, it is your birthday. It's your birthday. Yes, it is your birthday. It's your birthday. Yes, it
is. Okay, I didn't want to swear to your son. You can play that back to him. Okay.
So, he's 10 years old today, so it's been a busy old day just trying to get everything arranged and getting a little bit of you know, all the decorations and all that jazz for the house before I clicked him. And we went to Cadbury World because he's never been there before. And so we've been to...
Wait. Cadbury World?
Cadbury. Cadbury's chocolate world.
Cadbury. Okay. So this is like chocolate world.
Yeah.
Willy Wonka.
It's the factory. It's the big hub of
the
Cadbury's chocolate manufacturing and God knows what. Yeah, the production, it's all there. So we went there with him. That was great. We had lots of chocolate.
Where is that? I think I've been past that. Where is that again? That's something coming H.
It's in Bourneville.
Bourneville Chocolate Factory. Okay.
Yeah, that's just north of Chichen Itza for you, Robin.
Okay. So Bourneville was the little village that George Cadbury, the one who pretty much made the business thrive, he created the village Bourneville and housed all of the workers and pretty much, yeah, everything that went on in and around that area, he owned, he ran. There's no takeaways or corner shops or anything, pubs. There's nothing to deter you away from being a family person and working and enjoying life and enjoying greenery and the outdoors. And that was it.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So it was very, very like, it was
a bit like Celebration outside Disney in Florida, where Disney built a whole town just to be wholesome.
Bit of a kingdom and indentured servitude. And
well, it's like
Disney. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like Disney.
it's actually created a lot of history. Obviously George Cadbury did, as well as the area of Bourneville. It's got a lot of things. It's got a lot of claims to fame. And we found this out earlier on in the week. I walked through Bourneville with Shell, and we was going to go to the local butchers. And I come across this person that I know. And he was like, all right, how you doing? And how's your day going? And blah, blah. What are you up to? I was like, well, we're just going to get some food. Then we're going to do a few bits, buy some things for my son. And he was like, I've got a tour. I'm running a tour, a Bourneville tour, and a tour of the Carillon Visitor Centre and the Carillon Bell Tower at 3 o'clock today. So it's a freebie. You don't have to pay. You can come along and, just bring yourselves and I'll tour you. So we ended up on this tour, which lasted nearly 2 hours, I think it was. But it gives you a great insight into the local area of Bourneville. And there was a few things, and one saying, which I'm sure I'm hoping that the Americans would have heard this saying as well, called toe the line.
You got to toe the line.
Yeah. So that originated in Bourneville. So there's a school next to the Carillon Tower, the Bell Tower, and in the hallway there's some lines that are painted on the floor, and The rule in there was all of the children had to stand on the lines, have the edge of the toes to the edge of the lines, and if they put their arms forward, they couldn't reach into the person in front of them and distract them or whatever. And that's where the saying toe the line came from, because that's where they got the kids to toe the line. So there was all these little interesting facts about Bourneville that we found out on this tour. And we had it. There was the bell tower that we went up. So we went all the way up to the top. And there's a guy who's been playing the organ there every single Saturday since 1965.
Flip me, he must have calluses on his hands.
So, does he get to play different songs?
Yeah, he plays different songs all day long. Yeah, and he's been playing it every Saturday. every Saturday since 1965. He's the third. Is the third employee to do that on that tower. So we had a fantastic tour around Bourneville that weekend. It was on a on a whim. It was completely random, but we ended up having a great time. And like I say, today has been my son's birthday. And apart from that, it's just been work stuff really. I've not had time to play video games again. I'm sorry.
It's funny when you mention finding out about stuff. I found out the meaning of the word posh, or where posh came from. Over the weekend. Do you realize where that came from?
No.
Yeah, well, posh spice.
So seemingly it's to do with us guys. So when people were sailing out on steamliners to America, yeah. So when you went out, when you were going out there, the sun was always on the left hand side of the boat, seemingly. Yeah, okay. on the way, and on the back, on the way back, it was on the opposite side.
Oh, interesting. I think I know where this is going.
So it's port out
and starboard.
And starboard home.
Back. Yeah, so you wanted the posh ticket.
Posh ticket. Yeah. So you got the opposite sides of the ship on the way out and the way back, and that's where posh people came from, allegedly. Okay. But I think that's a pretty good story, actually.
I like it.
Yeah, there you go.
That's really cool.
Isn't it?
Yeah, there's a woman who used to visit our workplace. She's getting on a bit now. I think she's about 86, something like that. And she reads the Radio Times, and in there is a small cutout that she, every time she collects them for me, bless her, and she cuts them all out, and all of the original sayings or meanings and old school things that, you know, that have all almost been forgotten sometimes, I suppose, in the past. She cuts all that out for me and collects them and sends them over to me every so often. And yeah, it's nice to hear little things like that, isn't it? Little fun facts.
Yep, love it. Love it.
All right. Let's move over to Kim. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to step out for one moment. So keep talking amongst yourselves. Give me a second.
No chance. Let's take a break. Oh, let's have a picnic. Okay. Oh, let's... Let's talk to Boomer.
All right, we'll talk
yeah,
to Boomer.
And Martin. Hey, that. Martin. How you doing? Hey, Martin. Hey, Boomer. How's it going, lads? What have you been up to this week?
Right.
Have you done anything nice? You know, Boomer. I mean, what did you do this week? What was the most memorable thing you did this week, Boomer? And Martin, same question.
Right. Yeah,
Martin, posh people only come from Northern. Only come from Northern Ireland. I put in the only. yeah, they come from the Malone Road in Belfast. That's a very posh area of Belfast. The Malone Road. Yes, they do come from there. Yes, and they're very, very lovely people. Yeah, he's not working here. Oh dear, not bad here, and he's not working here. Anyway, you tell us what you've been up to, Kim. What have you been doing?
It's not the first of the month, but considering last week, I don't know, have I did the calendars yet this month?
I don't know, but we could do it again.
We'll do it again, because I don't fucking remember, so here we are. God, it's
you said to talk about that t-shirt as well.
Yeah.
It's like Bat-Fink.
Yeah, it's Bat-Duck and Decoy.
Bat-Duck, okay, I didn't see the duck.
Yeah, it's Bat-Duck and Decoy, which is Porky Pig.
The blood pressure's going up in the chat. Don't lean back. Don't lean back like that.
But considering, Kevin passed away and whatnot. But anyway, who is actually my Batman, despite everything else.
Your
but,
Batman.
Yes, we have Ricky and Shadow this month. And like I said, I can't remember if I did this or not. So, we'll do it again. So,
Ricky there you and go, Shadow.
Ricky and Shadow. I don't know who's who. I mean, honestly, I'm not making any assumptions.
Do you know firemen? I mean, firefighters.
Yeah, I know a few. None of them look like this guy, but I know a few.
Admission time. Do you buy the calendar, or does someone buy the calendar for you?
No. Actually, I buy the calendar. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe I should charge that to the OC podcast expense account. Should do. But...
Absolutely. Send it in. Yeah. He'll sort out those expenses. There's been years and years of them.
Right.
I know a fireman, right? And he was talking about a job that he went on. And I didn't realize that if the people have passed out and they're rather big on a staircase, they just pretty much chuck them down the stairs.
Right.
And he said that they tried to drag this woman out of a bedroom and across the staircase the landing to get to the staircase, and she got stuck, and they couldn't work out how she got stuck, and eventually they managed to work out that it was the carpet gripper on the carpet that that was the nails into it was digging into the skin on her bottom.
Ow.
And they managed to get her out of that and then throw her down the stairs.
Ow.
But there we go. Little story while Greg's away.
No, that's good. That's all right.
Are you talking about throwing your wife down the stairs? What?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
It's a whole new thing. It's cool.
Yeah. Wife tossing. Who knew? All right, so I'm assuming we got through Kim. Did we get through Robin?
No. Oh, yeah, I don't even through Kim. Kim was showing off her boobs there for a while.
Excellent.
Leaning back in the chair. You missed all that. That's good. Yeah.
You know.
My turn now. Okay, well, like last week I sort of touched on the job.
Robin, real quickly, you're showing nothing we haven't seen before.
Right. No, you've seen a lot more.
I know.
I took some a work thing that I had to go and move this massive, or not me personally, I pointed people in the direction, but we were taking this massive big pizza oven from a place, and that came out on Monday night, no problem. Well, you know, after we worked it all out, that's the place that the roof fell off, but on our second attempt, we got it out and got into the lorry, and on Tuesday morning, what was happening was we go down to this other place, way down into southern Mexico, and a builder was cutting a hole in a wall from the unit next door, a shop next door, which wasn't being used, and we were going to bring it in that way. And it all went smoothly, fantastically well on Tuesday. And my guys came in then, and the builder brought the oven in, got it all built back up again. I mean, six people around this, you wouldn't lift it. Says this is the weight of a car. Right. The builder built the wall up. My guys put the steel and steel sheeting all back on again. All the cables were put in. And I went away off up the road, happy as Larry. Job well done there, oven.
Can I take a guess?
Well,
was the wrong unit installed?
No, it just didn't work. In fact, it was Friday evening where they got it fired up, and on Saturday morning I got a text message in to say this thing hasn't fired up again this morning. Electrical problem, nothing to do with us. Wasn't really our responsibility. We were just the guys from A to B and got it set up. But yeah, it sort of spoiled that a little bit. But it was adventurous. It was good fun. So yeah, that was that. We got that done. What else did I do this week? I was away. So I sold. I bought a new stream deck on my streaming. So this is my new.
For a second, I thought that said Steam Deck, and I was laughing.
So did I? No,
I bought another one. Forgot already, that old fart. So yeah, this is the old one here. This is originally, I think I got this from Mark.
I believe so.
Did you?
This is a little 6-boyo, and I had it sitting here, and I haven't really used it until I was starting to do the racing streaming, and I found it was brilliant, really, really good, but I was a button or two short. And I've been keeping an eye out for, there is a brand new Stream Deck out. This is so the first one has 6 buttons, and this one here has 5, 10, 15 buttons.
Oh, my God.
Now, there is a brand new version of this out, but I think the only real difference is the stand is slightly different, and you can have face plates, interchangeable face plates. That's of no concern to me. But I've been keeping an eye on this thing. This was about 140 quid, and it came down to £80. And I went, I'll have that. And then yesterday, this little boyo went on eBay and it sold for £60. So that's a pretty cheap upgrade as far as
there
I'm concerned.
Go.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think I paid Mark 50 for it back in the day, maybe.
Yeah, I think I sold my original one at a garage sale for like $30.
So, it helped my driving. We'll get to my driving later on, Martin. But yes, it's nice. It's all hooked up. It's lovely. It'll help my driving. It'll help your watching experience. My driving may not improve, but
it'll enhance the watching experience. The
entertainment value is the thing that we're talking about here. So a lot of work.
Come on, dog.
A lot of work stuff. Okay, so you've sort of mentioned this, Greg, and I'm going to mention it too. So Andor,
let's talk about
stuff.
It. Yes.
Kim, did you watch any Andor?
No spoilers.
Couple episodes. I'm behind, or 3 episodes maybe, but I am a little behind. So I'll catch up this week, I swear.
So it is becoming kind of awesome. Greg said it is awesome. I'm saying it is becoming kind of awesome.
I stand by my claim.
So... this week's episode was pretty intense and pretty good, and last week's was building up to what was going to happen, and excellent.
Well, and I think so, without spoiling, but we can talk about this, and I think the big difference, at least for me, with Andor, is Andor treats the viewers like adults. In that, and so what I mean by that is they take their time with setup. They will devote an entire episode to setting up a major plot point, as opposed to other TV series. I feel like they feel like they have to rush through some of that often. They maybe take 10, 15 minutes from an episode to set up a story plot line.
Mm.
And the other side of that, in terms of treating us like adults, is that they're not, you don't have the comic sidekick characters that you do in your traditional Star Wars movies. There's none of that in this. It is very dark, gritty. There's some humor.
Yeah, there's
some humor. But it is subtle, and it is just a very mature, dark theme.
Mm.
And I like it because I feel like this is what it would be like being in the under the Empire's thumb. You know, you feel the gravity.
It is a lot grittier.
Yeah, so I truly enjoy that aspect of this show, and also the acting has been fantastic.
Yeah,
from start to finish, in my opinion, at least so far, and it is gotten better as you go through, because additional characters that have come in have added even more acting chops, if you will.
My lovely big son, who is on his way back from Canada as we speak, he should be on his flight about now. He's impressed with it because he says they're using CGI to a minimum for a lot of the main sets. Mm-hmm. Yes, some of the big sweeping stuff in the background and spaceships and stuff like that there, but a lot of the real sets, it's not done on a green screen. A lot of it is real in the in the mountains, and that whole jail-y scene, that whole sets were there. There's not a lot of pew CGI stuff going on, which is, he's quite impressed with that. That helps the grittiness of it, because I suppose when you think about it, when you get all of that stuff, everything is almost perfect, where this feels visceral, I suppose. So yeah, it's very, very good. Well, watch it. It's good. I don't even think you don't even think you need to be a Star Wars fan.
No, that's the another great aspect to this.
Yeah,
I think
right.
Anybody can get into this.
I'm the biggest Star Wars fan, but I am enjoying this. So actually, after I'm done with it, I will go watch Rogue One. So,
That's a good, that's a good pick. That's good.
Pete, have you seen any of this?
No, I haven't. No. What I was going to mention though, I've seen Spider-Man: Far From Home this week.
Oh yeah, you said you were going to watch that. Very good.
So I've managed to get that watched. I've only got I think there's only Spider-Man: No Way Home. And is it Wakanda Forever? I think I've only got those two to watch now.
Is Wakanda Forever out yet? Is it?
It just came out on the 11th. So yeah,
it'll be on Disney Plus there, won't it? Because I've subscribed.
Eventually,
to that.
I think it's theater only right now.
Oh, yeah, okay. Don't worry. In about 3 weeks, there'll probably be another six or seven Marvel movies, so you'll never.
So
they did get. I think they committed to another Spider-Man movie.
Sorry.
I think it was the main actor from the Spider-Man movie. Yeah, I can't remember his name, but yeah.
That's Flip Tobey Maguire. That's a long time ago. No, it's that young boy. I remember the day I was when Tobey Maguire was Spider-Man, but there's been several people since him.
It was a great film. I thought it was action packed pretty much all the way through. Jake Gyllenhaal was really good in it. He was Mysterio. I thought the end was good, and yeah, I can't wait to watch.
Mysterio's in it? What? You spoiled it! Oh my god!
Oh dear!
Yeah.
So
bastard.
He dies twice. sorry, folks.
It's all good.
No, he lives really. So, yeah. I enjoyed that. And we watched a TV series called, I don't know whether I mentioned it last week, it's called The Walking. It stars Stephen Graham, who's a popular actor in the BBC dramas, and he was also in Peaky Blinders. And he's a famous actor from Liverpool, and he's one of these guys that you've seen loads of times on TV, but you don't actually remember his name, a bit like Matt Damon. And he stars as someone who was once a leader of a right wing political movement called National Action. It's based on a true story, and he ends up coming out of that at a cost as well. And it just shows you him trying to get somebody else out of that political movement, and you know, it's as you could imagine, because of how far right extreme they are, it obviously comes with some complications along the way. But it's a really good, it's a 5-part TV series, and it's really good.
What's it called again? Sorry,
The Walking.
Walking. Okay.
Yeah. Walking. So it is really good.
Okay. Well, depends how far right. Depends who defines what far right is. But okay. Well,
yeah, but it's
a different opinion is far right these days.
True. Yeah.
It's on ITV Hub. That's sorry, not BBC. But it does star in a lot of BBC dramas. But this particular one is on the ITV Hub. If you've got access to that, so it is really really good.
Robin, getting back to you, anything you want to add to the week?
Not really. My elbow's still sore, but you know, what do you do?
Ben Gay.
I'm old.
I see how.
WD-40.
Maybe.
Windex. Oh, my old fat Greek wedding. You remember that? Windex was the cure for everything.
No.
You must watch that movie. It's a good movie.
Wendoline. Stinks.
All right. I guess that's me. Extra Life done. Right. I don't know, Kim, if you talked a little bit about that yourself.
Was that all?
No. You know, it was this little event that happened last weekend. We sat out to raise money for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Kim and I both, I think, went into deep sleep after the event was over.
Yes.
You just went down fast. Hours. You went down fast at the end.
We did. But you know, overall, this was actually a very easy event for me to get through. Right. I on a whim decided to start early because I could not fall asleep the night before. And so I was up at 2:30 and I just said, screw it. So I got up, I took a shower, brewed some coffee up, and I started at 3:30 in the morning.
Nice.
And that actually was a huge win, because by the time 3:30 rolled around the next day, yeah, I was tired, but not nearly as tired as I had felt in previous years. So I probably could have kept going until 5:00. I think a large part of that had to do with the people. You know, we had a lot of people playing with us, and so that was a lot of fun. A lot of people checking in, communicating, and just, you know, being there to support, which we loved. But all said and done, I probably should have looked up the VG Hub totals, but I was able to crack 2,000. Which was kind of a quasi goal for me because they gave away a mechanical keyboard. Mm. So I'll show that off when that comes around.
One picture this year.
Say no, I did not. I've gotten away from that. I'm just
bribing people.
No, just give me money. You know, playing on the heartstrings, and it's working well. The Walking Dead, let's talk about this real fast. The Walking Dead is final season. It's happening. And I'm so ready for this to be over. I am watching it.
How many years has it been going?
I can't believe you're still watching this.
You know what? We realized we were about ready to give up on it. And then they're like, well, this is the final season. We're like, okay, we'll watch it. And then they split it in two. And we're like, oh, but, there's only two more episodes left, and I don't think it could come fast enough. And the odd thing, AMC, the company behind The Walking Dead, it's like they are tripling down on The Walking Dead IP. All these new spin-off series are coming out, and I could not care less.
Well, is the fear of The Walking Dead still going?
That, I believe, is still going.
Yeah.
There's now Walking Dead universe. There's going to be a new Rick spinoff show to talk about what happened to him after he disappeared. So I think it's Rick and Michonne. I'm done. I'm good with just seeing this to its end, and it needs to end. I think they have just about pulled every little trick they can out of the book. And at this point, we watch it and we're just making fun of it, because now, unfortunately, you're seeing those moments like you see, again, kind of going back to if you've seen the Geico insurance commercial before, where the people are trying to run away from the guy, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy, and they're like, why don't we just get in the perfectly good running car? And they're like, no, we can't do that. Don't be stupid. And then they run into, you know, away from that. But it's some of that stuff is starting to happen in the series. And I'm just kind of like, okay, that would not happen. This is, you know, okay. So they're just taking things to kind of some ridiculous, like, jumps. And so, yeah, I'm good with it being done. Two more episodes, and it'll be done. And then another series
About. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Beard meets food. Okay. Okay. So this guy is it's Adam Moran, and he is an English professional, competitive eater and YouTuber. He's got about 2 million followers. Okay. And every video gets millions of views. And he posts several times a week. He travels all over the UK and the US and Canada doing eating competitions.
Okay.
And, you know, so he's not a big guy, he's a skinny guy.
They never are.
The
world record holder was like tiny, skinny, like, and just.
Yeah. Anyway. So this is his thing. So he goes in all over the place, does all these eating competitions. The reason I mentioned him, I watched a bit of an interview with him on YouTube a few days ago, and he was talking about the interview was because now he's making a living out of this, you know, with two million views and more of every YouTube video, and he's releasing a couple every week. You know, that's 50,000-60,000 pounds a week or more that he's making out of this stuff. It's kind of nutty. But he was talking about things that he's been asked to do that he's turned down. And he mentioned he had been asked to do an advert for this coming year, I believe, or maybe it was this year. Maybe it was this year coming year, and he couldn't do it for Dying Light.
Oh, okay.
They had approached him to do an eating video of what he would eat if he was in the middle of a zombie apocalypse. So, you know, if he got into somewhere and there was nothing but beans, he'd be eating there. It's like, yeah, you know, I could have fit it in. You know, I could have done it, but just time-wise, it wasn't there. And it was just for an advert to run on YouTube.
Right.
And they offered him 30 grand for this advert.
Oh, my God.
Holy moly.
It's just like, I just can't believe, you know, the money that some, you know, that has been chucked around for some of this stuff.
The influencer marketing world has skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Companies have totally glommed onto it because, to be perfectly honest, that is pennies for
what
a normal commercial would be. Yeah, so they can pay an influencer well.
In my racing streaming career so far, it's been amazing. Absolutely. I mean, my viewers have went up at least by 10, 11 subscribers in the last week or so. And, you know, the views, you know, my videos are getting 100 views or so. It's just unbelievable, the attention that they're getting, you know. So I can see that same thing happening to me. Like, somebody is going to pay me 30,000 quid to crash a car. So
10's still good though, isn't it? Eventually that could get bigger. I wouldn't say into the thousands and thousands, but you know, it's still all right watching you tootle away in your little car.
Anyway, sorry Greg, I did it was the link with the zombies, and that put that in my mind, so that's what it was.
That's okay. And I know somebody in the chat wanted to know, is this live? Yes, we absolutely
are live.
So another series, I just stumbled into this. It's been out for a while. The Peacemaker. So it's on Showtime. This is John Cena, the Peacemaker from...
okay. Yeah. That's the guy from Forrest Gump. John Cena? Cena?
No. John Cena is a very famous wrestler from the WWE. He also was in... what the heck's the DC Suicide Squad? He was in the latest Suicide Squad. The latest Suicide Squad movie. He plays the role of a character called the Peacemaker. So they did a spin-off series on HBO. Showtime. And
come on,
it's not great, but there's something about it. And I keep watching it. I burned through like five episodes of it, I will continue to watch the rest of this series. There's something about it. He just amuses me. It's a combination of sarcastic comedy and some dark comedy mixed in with it. But he has an eagle for a pet, and the eagle like responds to him. So I don't know. You got to watch it. I can't do this justice by just speaking to it. It's probably crap TV, but I love it all the same. And so, yeah,
The Peacemaker. I know when it came out, there was a lot of people that really liked it. So,
well, it has a lot of the same comedy from the newest Suicide Squad. So, ooh, if you're familiar with that movie, you'll kind of get a sense of what the Peacemaker is. So,
there's something about John Cena though. He's just I really like that guy. I think he's brilliant.
I think he has some great moments. Sometimes not so much. But overall, I think he has evolved on his theatrical side.
Yeah.
Anyway, last little bit was I just came back this weekend. We did my brother-in-law's celebration of life. Fantastic, wonderful event.
Very good.
Was you know, really lovely. And so, that's my week in a nutshell. I'm getting ready to travel. I actually fly back out tomorrow night. Whew. And so... I don't know if the eagle craps on TV, Martin, but it absolutely is a highlight. Anyway, I fly out tomorrow night for work. I'll be gone another couple of days, and then I'm back on Wednesday. So just a lot of travel for me in the past week. But that's everything. So let's talk some video games.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right, Kim, let's talk. I guess we're kind of midway through the month. I don't know if we need to update the games we get because we pay for them. Maybe. I don't know.
You're running the show, boss. I'm just here.
Let's go through it. Let's just run through it real fast.
All righty. Your games is gold. For the month are Praetorians HD Remaster, which is available now through the end of the month. Here in a couple of days, Dead End Job will be available till December 15th. So there you go with that. PlayStation Plus, we still have Neo 2 and Neo 2 Remastered for the PS4 and PS5. Lego Harry Potter Collection for the PS4 and Heavenly Bodies for the PS4 and PS5. None of those of which I've picked up yet, but who knows. Let's see. Prime Games for November, we have Fallout New Vegas Ultimate Edition, WRC9, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Facility 47, Etherborn, and Whispering Willows, and Last Day of June. Stadia Pro. Yeah, that's funny. And I don't know what the Epic Game Store ones are because I haven't updated them yet, but I'll have them updated by the next podcast.
That sounds lovely. I swear to God, Microsoft is just, they're making Games with Gold so crappy. I think they just want it to become non-existent in our minds, and then they can just flip a switch and nobody's going to care. There will be no outrage because nobody cares.
Right.
All right. Let's talk about what we have been playing. Pete, you have already self-proclaimed you've played nothing.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'll say that. I've downloaded God of War Ragnarok.
Whoa.
Wow.
Outstanding. That
qualifies.
You're playing the download game.
It took me 6 hours. I've downloaded it. So that's as far as
six
I've got.
Hours.
Six hours to download something? What speed of internet do you have? That's pathetic. That's like that boy Robin Tate years ago.
I'm in the middle of a 10-acre plot of land, and there's no connection apart from this BT one, and I think it's like 12 meg update. 12 megabytes.
Camera's not working, Pete.
It could be. Maybe. 12 megabyte download, and I think it was 4 or 5 upload. So I'm like, oh my God. So I was going to talk to Robin about his little 5G modem or whatever it was that he had before. And anyway.
I could send you that over, actually.
Well, there you go. I've downloaded it at least.
Thank you for playing the download game. We appreciate it.
Mark did text me and say, I've played the first 20 minutes of God of War, and if you've played that and it's as good as that throughout the game, then it's the best game ever. But I've just not even played the first 20 minutes yet. So
he says it's awesome.
Yeah, he has texted all of us with that, by the way. Not just yourself, Pete. Don't feel special on that.
Right.
Yeah.
No, Mark definitely is raving about this game. All right. And I honestly have high hopes for it. I mean, the scores are off the chart, so I think it's going to be received well.
Hopefully, there'll be a really good video that Greg can watch. Yeah.
I'm sure there will be. Another great movie from Sony. I am all about it.
Yeah.
All right, Kim, what have you played? Maybe to go back to, you know, let's talk about Extra Life. There was a ton of games you played there.
Alrighty. Well, the usual. I played some Immortals Phoenix Rising. I actually cleared half the map on that game, so I'm getting a little closer to having that one finished. Another one that I've talked about, you know, in ad nauseum is Forza Horizon 5. So we did on that one. I must apologize for my Halo Infinite play. I was exhausted. I sucked terribly. So Snoogans, Martin, I'm terribly sorry. Although really, to be honest, it's a shooter and I'm crap at him. So, you know, it's probably
we still had fun.
It was fun, but I was just awful. I swear to God, I was dead more than I was alive. But anyway, we played Dead by Daylight, which I'm shocked. I actually enjoyed, believe it or not.
You are quite the good psychopath. So let's talk about Dead by Daylight real fast. We'll set the premise. If you're not familiar with Dead by Daylight, it's kind of like the game Evolved. If you remember that game.
Yeah.
So Evolved, basically, or in Dead by Daylight, it's one murderous psychopath. Think, you know, Freddy Krueger or Jason from Friday the 13th. And you have these different types of killers, and they have different abilities.
Right.
And their goal is to prevent you from escaping and basically destroy or take out the generators that ultimately will keep you from being able to escape and kill you. Your goal as a survivor, and there's up to four survivors, is to basically activate these different generators. And then, and by activating these generators on the map, it then allows you to escape through one of two different gates on the map. And there's other nuances to this, but I won't get into that. That's the overall premise. The monster guy or creature cannot see you on the map unless there's certain powers or certain things that they can do that they might get visibility to you at a time. In terms of the survivors, you don't necessarily see where the monster is all the time. Sometimes you will be able to, you know, have something happen that will make them visible to you. But mostly you're just creeping around trying to avoid being seen. And once you're seen, the monster can run slightly faster than you. And I should say not really run, because they're always walking. And so... they just continually keep coming at you, and then the surviving characters, you know, you have some escapability, but you have no offensive weapons. You cannot kill the monster. You are just literally trying to escape, and it's all very defensive things. And so we played this for, gosh, 2-3 hours and had a blast.
Oh, yeah. Poor Boomer. Yeah. I'd apologize, but it was kind of fun because poor Boomer, every time I turned a corner, the monster, serial killer, whatever, there was Boomer. So he got put up on the hook a lot. So, you know. I expected to be creeped out by it and not like it, but I really, really enjoyed it, which I'm not sure what that says about me, but whatever.
You know, the game itself, I think because also we were playing a private match, we had a full set of people. So it was myself, Kim, Luis, Martin, and Boomer were all in there. And so it basically just made for a really good, fun time. And Kim actually excelled very much at being a rotten, downright scoundrel, villainous murderer.
Yeah. It's always the quiet ones, they say.
Yeah, and I think there's a good balance in this game too, in terms of being able to escape versus being able to, you know, kind of kill everybody, as you're seeing here, the creature's going to hook somebody. It's gory at times, it's gruesome. You freak out a shitload when you're playing it because the sound is so key. And in fact, Lewis played this one character at one point. She would sing and kind of hum as she was walking around. And you would suddenly start hearing the humming, and you're like, oh shit, she's nearby. And you know, those are kind of those freak out moments. Headsets definitely help in the game. And having a team that's talking and communicating also helps, because what we ended up doing is often you were splitting off. One person's being a bit of a diversion, and then other people are trying to get the generators going. But yeah, we just had a really good time.
Yep. Oh yeah, indeed. Although I do suck at fixing the generators. I'm sorry, that's like a weak point. I still haven't figured out how to do that yet. So you definitely want to have at least one person on your team that's good with the generators, because that ain't me. So.
Yeah, the generators, just to kind of put a point to that, as you hold down basically a button, and right. Your character will start working on the generator. But then every once in a while, they will throw in a quick time event where you have to, you'll see a dial coming around, yep. You have to hit the corresponding button at the right time. And if you don't, it won't, basically it's like you screwed up something on the generator and a big bang happens, and that alerts the monster creature of your presence, and they can see you for a brief second, kind of using like, Batman vision, so to speak. And they can come over to the generator and try and take you out if you're still there.
Right.
So just lots of different things that they did. It was again, a really fun group game. Yes. I don't think I would play this on my own, but if we have a group of people together, hell yeah, we had a hoot.
I do think we need to do it again sometime. I'm all up for it. So
I would agree. I would definitely be up for it. Again, so, I think playing with randoms would not be as fun.
Why is this better than the one that we mentioned, the Mother Monsters, which looked fantastic, and it was beautiful and it played so well.
Yeah. So it's interesting you said that, Robin, and I think two things that really set it apart. One, the environments. I think the environments in this game, they're smaller. So Evolve, okay. It was very big maps because the monster would grow to be humongous. Godzilla.
Yeah.
And so the maps are much more smaller and condensed. But also, and this is the big differentiator, there's only one side of the two teams, if you will, that has offensive capabilities. That's the monster creature here. All of the survivors, you have no capabilities to fight back.
Okay.
And unlike Evolve, everybody could, you could kill the monster could kill you. So all those matches always evolved or devolved, if you will, into just trying to kill one another. Very few times would you see teams actually trying to complete the quote-unquote objectives, okay. rather than just going and trying to get into a big firefight, so to speak. And here, it literally forces your hand. You can't do that. And I think that adds a real great level of excitement as well as anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was the big differentiator and why I think this has had more success than Evolve did.
The generator looks, no, I think we've all died because of it was all of the microtransactions. So it got off to a bad start.
There's that too. And this has microtransactions in it. You can buy outfits and buy different, I think, monster.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can buy the characters or not, but I mean, it has a core amount in it that you start off with. But anyway, it was good. We had a lot of fun. I would love to get another group session with this going. I think, Kim, you're spot on with that. What else, Kim?
Well, another killing game was Among Us. That was actually pretty good too, because the only time I'd ever played it was with Tony, and we played with a bunch of randoms, and I didn't particularly care for it. But on Extra Life, it was actually pretty fun. And it was also fun when I'm sitting there trying to vote out the killer, and all the rest of you guys are like, "No, it's you," and it's like, "No, it isn't."
Oh my God, Among Us was again another fun.
Yep.
Kind of, small group game. I think it would be even more fun with a larger group.
Yep.
I had never played Among Us.
My kids are all playing it. They loved it.
So in essence, it's very simplistic graphics. It's kind of top down. I dare I say pixel like graphics, but you play. Let's say you have five people. One person is going to be a spy. And the other four are crew members of the ship. Yep. The spy's role is either to kill the other crew members or sabotage the ship. And the crew members, each one gets assigned individual tasks. So Kim's might be go fix a generator, go fix a communications panel. Mine might be go fix the life support systems, and then go fix the water sanitation unit. And you go to these individual spots in the ship, and you'll have little mini games to complete these tasks. In the meantime, the spy's walking around and has to be very sneaky about either trying to kill somebody or do their sabotage events, because if you're seen on screen, then obviously you know who it was, and you can try and vote them off and basically, you know, get everybody on your side. Now, because we were all in a party chat, we actually, it was pretty ingenious or smart. None of us were talking about openly who we thought was who. And so we would drop hints every once in a while, but we would cast a vote, and the vote basically happens. Everybody who's still alive gets to vote who they think the spy is. And if there's a majority for one character, then that character gets jettisoned out of the ship. And if they're not the spy, then the game continues on, but that character is now sidelined and dead. And so that happened to me twice, actually, where everybody thought I was the spy, and I'm like, no, not me, but yeah, I got ejected out. And then there's one time where I literally walked in as the spy had just killed somebody, and I just beelined out of there because, again, the spy can kill you if they catch you. Mm-hmm. So I'm hustling back to the voting, and I placed the thing to vote, and that's when everybody voted me out.
It seems like like a version of Cluedo. Game, you know, you have to go around, pick up clues, and then everybody puts a guess in as, you know, the whatever, and the prostitute in the kitchen with the dildo.
I think the difference is you could see the activity. You could, if they, the one advantage that the spy has is that they can go through the vents, can't they? And they've got more of an access to the environment than everybody else within the game. And sometimes you spot them making that mistake of going through a vent, and you can kind of pick out who it is then. But
100%. And then, I had that happen where I literally walked into a room 1 minute, and I doubled back to it, and suddenly there was a spy there.
Huh.
And I was like, oh, shit, I got to go.
Got to get out of here.
Sounds like a fun thing.
Among Us was definitely fun and helped pass the past few hours of Extra Life.
Boomer was the feel boat imposter.
Yeah, he killed me a couple times, but I think it was payback for Dead by Daylight. So, I guess it was justified.
Yeah. And Dead by Daylight, I should say Dead by Daylight was a suggestion from Luis Raimondo, playing Skills, who previously had said, hey, I challenge you to play Persona 5. He then challenged me to play Dead by Daylight. I anticipate there will be a new game coming to challenge me with, and I fear it is going to be something I will hate. But
probably.
So far, he's one for two. All right, Kim, what else?
Well, last but certainly not least, here a couple, 3 days ago, they had the Spyro trilogy on sale for like $14. So I picked it up for the Xbox, and I started playing the first Spyro that I haven't played since PlayStation days. And I remember it being more difficult back then than now, but that's okay. It's good for easy achievements, which is good when you're doing the Microsoft rewards thing and you need like 3 achievements, you know, to get your points or whatever.
So right.
It'll work for that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Any ambitions of playing Spyro for a long period of time, or are you thinking this is really could be more just for some achievement hunting?
Yeah, I think for some achievement hunting, but it's nice to go back and relive, like I said, playing them for the first time, and like I said, for some odd reason, I thought the first time it was a hell of a lot harder than what it is now. Maybe
you're
that's just how far
such
my gaming
an expert.
Has come.
Oh, so, wow, such right. an expert.
But yeah, it's fun. I like showed it to Anthony last night. I'm like, I can remember this came out for the PlayStation, and I played it for the first time. And he's like, of course, he's played Skylanders, so that's his only clue to what Spyro even is. Mm. So it's been fun.
All right.
Like I said, it was nice. I only spent $14 on it as opposed to $30, so I'll take that.
Okay.
Yep, that's it
for me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've talked a good chunk of what I have already played, so I will skip over Halo. I actually did not play any PUBG this past week. that was sidelined for other things, including Extra Life, of course. Plague's Tale Requiem. So on Extra Life, I started off and I was playing a lot of Plague's Tale. And then I got to this one section of the game and I could not figure out what the hell to do. I was just like, you know, I was doing all of these the numerous puzzles you have to do in order. And I say puzzles, but it was basically figuring out how to navigate through the rats and use them. In fact, this is, I think, where that was. No, maybe not. All right. Anyway, I'm looking up on screen. So turns out I got really frustrated. And of course, everybody on stream was laughing at me a little bit because I just I couldn't figure out what the hell to do.
I think well, I did that with you in Modern Warfare 2 as well last year.
Oh, yeah. Well, Modern Warfare 2, I was just like dead tired.
Repeat and rinse.
I'll talk about that in a second. But Plague Tale Requiem, turns out there was a glitch. And I was supposed to throw a stick to my companion and he would catch it and then he'd be able to light it and come on over. Well, the game had saved the glitch. So even when I tried to restart the last checkpoint, it was still glitching and I couldn't throw the stick to him. So I had to start the entire level all over again. Wasn't as bad, but just kind of annoyed me that here I was thinking I wasn't figuring something out this whole time. And it turned out, no, it absolutely was a glitch. And I just couldn't throw the stupid stick to the kid. And so I had tried throwing it to him numerous times. And it just, I threw the stick at his head. It would bounce off his head and it was nothing. And for whatever reason, it had glitched out. He wouldn't catch it. But I've gone back in, got past that level. And very much enjoying this game. It is a really good, solid game. I love the story. The acting, the voice acting within it is solid. So this is definitely up there for my enjoyment for the year.
Good.
And then another game that I've really been enjoying in terms of the single player, Modern Warfare 2. So I played a bunch of this not only on Extra Life, but then I played it afterwards, kind of leading up to me leaving town yesterday or on Friday. But the story's really good. I'm very much enjoying it, and I think part of the reason why I'm enjoying it is because a lot of it is new. It is not a rehash of the original, like I thought. Yeah, it looks fantastic. It's all, you know, it's a Michael Bay popcorn, you know, shoot 'em, you know, kind of game, but it's really good. And I like some of the new levels they've introduced, and there's been a nice little twist that they introduced as well. And so, all of that has just really, it's made me very happy to be playing this game. So I'm probably good 2/3 of the way through the single player story. My understanding is it's about 11 hours long.
I was in a shopping center in the south of Mexico, in the south of Ireland, for the week. And there was a GameStop there, or a game, and I went and did it. And I was thinking, oh, I'll pick that up. But it was 80 euros, which is
expensive,
which is like 70 pounds sterling. Yeah.
Yep.
Like, holy fuck. No, I'm not bothered. I was thinking, I'll get buy it on disc and then play it and then get rid of it. But no, I didn't.
It is expensive. The multiplayer is really solid. I've actually been enjoying playing Ground War. It's kind of the Modern Warfare take on Battlefield.
Okay.
The only thing really missing from that, where Battlefield still shines to me, is the destructible environment. You don't have that in Modern Warfare. So
I'd love to go back to some of the old levels that I played and loved. On Modern Warfare 2.
It's only gonna cost you 70 pounds sterling.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I did pick this up too, thanks to peer pressure.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that. So Modern Warfare 2, still very much enjoying it. And again, I originally was mistaken. I thought this was just a kind of a remastering of the original game. No, it's a reboot. So they've taken some of the original levels. And they're in there, but they have absolutely given new story elements and really changed it around. So it is not the same game at all. And then Grounded. Played a bunch of that early on in the day. Nick was with me. We also had Eric Piotrowski showed up and did a little Grounded with us. That's just a fun game. You know, it has the new story elements to it, which I think really help and set a scene and kind of build it up. But it's not quite Minecraft, but it's Minecraft-esque.
Okay.
So you're doing a lot of building, and that's a big component to this game. You have to build to survive, so to speak. But the building is more straightforward than, say, a Minecraft. The recipes aren't necessarily hidden. They're a little more straightforward and easier to kind of pull together and create. So we had a co-op session going, and we created basically our little fortress and got through a good chunk of story. So I think I'll join back into it and I'll try and finish it out. But I like it. I wish they would have maybe just put this out as one finished product altogether, as opposed to how they kind of rolled it out. But again, I get it. They weren't sure this was going to even be a thing. You know, this was made by a 10-person team at the time, and then they elevated it to 20 people. And so, I mean, it's a game that I think they took a chance on, and it's kind of blown up into something big. Again, not on the level of Minecraft, but if you think about it, that's kind of how Minecraft evolved. So
Martin wants to know if Grounded is located in your lawn.
It might be. It might be. I could see that. But yeah.
Greg would have killed him by now.
Right?
I will tell you this. There are no spiders in my lawn. Spiders in Grounded freak me out.
I was going to ask, do you have the spider setting turned all the way down so they barely look like spiders?
No, I don't. I don't. I'm not that afraid of spiders. But the spiders in this game are more like monsters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's, you know, you're not squishing spiders in this game. Those right. Everything wants to kill you in this game for the most part, with the exception of ladybugs so far.
Spiders are squishing you.
Yeah. Also, ladybirds. You guys call them ladybirds, apparently?
Ladybirds? Yeah, little red with little black dots.
Yeah. Never heard that term before up until
What do you call them?
Ladybugs.
Oh, ladybirds. Okay. Yeah.
So I first heard that, I was like looking up at the sky. I'm like, where's the ladybird? Ladybug. Anyway. But yeah, Grounded. Good stuff. Enjoying it. If you are curious, it's on Game Pass. I would recommend. Check it out. You also can play it on the cloud. But no, if you're playing it on the cloud, you cannot co-op play. And this is something I kind of found out with a couple different games. The cloud play, for some of them, you weren't able to do co-op streaming, that kind of thing. It's not co-op. It's the streaming side of it. You can't stream a game and play it in the cloud at the same time.
Huh.
And that's, I think, because of bandwidth issues. The stream takes up a chunk of your bandwidth, and so they don't have enough bandwidth to run on the cloud. Anyway, so that was me.
There you go.
I suppose we should
move on. Sorry about this.
Sorry about what?
You suppose you should move on.
Here is the fucking news.
Did we talk about Robin's game he played, or did I like?
Yeah, I suppose we should.
It's the racing segment. Yay! Good evening, everybody. Yeah, it's me. I'm sorry. Okay, so this week, my Seta Corsa Competizione. I'm sorry about this. low fuel motorsport racing went on, and what a week did I have! So as you know, I am out of the rookie section.
I'm done.
And this week I was in a place called COTA in America, Circuit of the Americas, which is out in Austin, I believe, just outside there. And I had a fucking horrible week. So here's the thing.
You're no longer a rookie, right?
No longer a rookie. So when you're going through the rookie section, it's like everybody's on their best behavior to get out of the rookie section. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I've now come out of the rookies, and I'm thinking, I'm here. I'm moving up the ranks.
My elo is rising. I'm bronze plus. I'm on my way to silver. And then the quality of driving goes into the toilet. It really does. So everybody's in their best behavior in rookies to get out of rookies. So they don't want to bump into each other. But the, so you get into this new section, and it's like the tail end of the field. Don't give a toss anymore. And I raced Cota probably four times this week and got punterinoed all over the place. Ended up in the wall at the back. Had some good races from the back of the field. And I had sort of given up. I was really pissed off. And yesterday afternoon, I said, look, I'm going to give this one more go. And off to Cota we went. This is the start of the race. It's coming up under the screen now. And I thought, nope, I'm going. I'm raring to go. I'm going to be forceful. I'm going to get in through. I had qualified way down in the 18th. I finished the race in 12th, I think it was. And it was a fantastic race. And my elo had been going down. I'd went from being like a bronze plus down to iron.
Can you please explain what your elo is?
So ELO is your quality of driving, how many accidents you have. If you qualify 10th, you're expected to finish above 10th and your ELO will go higher. If you finish below 10th, it will go lower and it gets deducted. And
so not Electric Light Orchestra. Got
no,
it.
No. I've seen them. They're brilliant. Yes. They're really, really good. Anyway, so I'm in this new division. When I joined it, I was way down in the bottom. Again, the season, we're now coming into week 7. So this was week 6. This just finished off. And my ELO graph has now turned a corner. My safety level is up, but my ELO has at last turned a corner. There was 3,031 people in my league, and I am now at 1,855th. So I finished. So, but again, I'm halfway through a season when I got upgraded. So this week is the first lap. Goodness, it got all tight and bendy up in this first corner. In fact, I drove into the field almost to get round everybody to stay out of trouble. but yeah, just I came out of the race yesterday feeling friggin' fantastic. When you get a good race, it's maybe like a good game. I felt, wow, it was brilliant. And I feel so flat and crap because a lot of it was out of my control, and had a really, really, really good race. So this week we're off to France and Paul Ricard. And I've done a little bit of practice today. I'll have to do a bit more before I start the race. I just wanted to just a wee quick shout out to a few folk there as well that have been sort of joining in with the my streams and bits and pieces. And guys, Matthew Boyd saying he's really enjoying the videos, similar pace and demographic, in other words, old fart. Someone called Sim Racing who's been commenting on my things as well to say, I ain't even going there. There's no way I could be doing what you're doing. And also, Jamie from Red Ken Racing. So thank you very much for watching the streams. I'm streaming away, having a good time at it. And we shall continue. We shall continue and go. So, yeah, loving my racing still. Keeping on going. It continues. It just keeps on opening up and challenging me. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And this, you know what the weird thing is? I go through my days thinking about this racing game now. When I'm watching
YouTube, I don't think it's weird.
I'm watching videos to learn about brake bias and tail braking and all sorts of techniques, and that's weird.
Here's what I want to know: Are you integrating this into your daily driving?
I always drive the racing line in my car. I've always had. In fact, a friend of mine told me off once driving behind me. Why do you take the racing line? He knew it because but it's just
To block you.
Yeah, what do you do? Anyway, so thank you. If you drop into my stream, it's on YouTube. It's on Bongo's Bits at YouTube. It is getting better. I've changed over some software stuff this week. Got a bit of an issue. But
we should probably host your YouTube channel on our Twitch channel.
Can I do that as well?
I believe we can. Yeah.
I've actually came away from Twitch this week.
And just the YouTube, just the YouTubes.
Well, we still host it.
Still host that. I must see how we do that. Okay, I must do that, Berlin. But yeah, Robin, no stress driving, no stress watching. Yeah, I do get a bit uptight and stressed. I actually feel my.
I think I just want the audio from this, if nothing else.
Right.
Yeah,
it's good fun. So yeah, off to Paul Ricard.
Okay, so now you've just reminded me of a little incident as I was driving home. So. As you know, American drivers are a little bit
can't turn corners
shitty. People pass on the right all the time, or overtake, sorry, on the right when they shouldn't. They should be overtaking on the left. Again, just based on American driving, because we're right-hand lane, not left-hand lane. Anyway, so I'm on the freeway, the main freeway in the Sacramento region, Highway 80, and it basically opens into a five-lane freeway. There's the far left lane is actually the carpool lane, but it opens up to just another fast lane on the weekends because they don't do carpooling on the weekends. Okay. And then you have the other lanes. So I'm in the not the extreme left lane, but I'm in the next lane over, right? And I kind of go into it, and there's a car coming up quickly in that lane, but I knew the fast lane was wide open. And I didn't bother going into that. I stayed in my lane, and this person came up on me, and it turns out it was a woman. And she then pulls into the fast lane, and she's doing all these hand gestures like, you shouldn't be in this lane, you should be in that lane type thing. And I'm like, you have a lane that's wide open to you. What? Just drive down that. And then she comes back into the lane I was in, and I see her come up on another car in front of her that came into that lane, and she does the same thing. And yet she passed on the left. She got back out into the fast lane and started making all the hand gestures to that person again as she went by. And she wasn't flipping people off, which I could have some appreciation. But you could tell she was trying to gesture that you shouldn't have come in front of me and that this was my lane. But I was just laughing because I'm just like, there's an entire lane. Nobody's in it. It's perfectly fine to drive in it. Have at it. Anyway, all right, that's it. Let's talk some. Yeah, pretty much. Let's talk some news.
Here is the fucking news.
This time I mean it.
Okay, I'm so pissed off with Google. Yeah, really. I mean, they're starting to issue Stadia refunds, Greg. They are doing. I thought, isn't this a fantastic thing? And as of today, they're starting to process the refunds for Stadia purchases. And the first wave of refunds will include all of those for purchase of games, add-on content, and subscriptions made through the Stadia store. However, the company is not refunding Stadia Pro fees. That means me. I thought they were going to refund my device, and it was all a mistake. But no, they're not. It seems to be just for the games.
Yeah.
Sucker.
Ouch.
So it will stay over in the corner behind me as a display item. Bastards.
You might be with a fortune in years to come.
A fortune of money, boy. A fortune of money. European Union, those clever people, are opening an in-depth investigation into Microsoft purchases of Activision Blizzard and people who have controllers with wires.
We need to talk about this a little bit.
You know what? The European Commission are carrying out a full-scale investigation into Microsoft's $69 billion. I think it's funny, $69 billion to buy Activision Blizzard, following a preliminary probe. probe in 69. The European Commission announced Tuesday via Reuters that it believes the deal may significantly reduce competition in a handful of areas, including the PC and console gaming markets. According to the Commission's antitrust officials, Microsoft has the potential economic incentive to prevent competitors accessing Activision Blizzard's high-profile and highly successful games, including Call of Duty. The body notes is also concerned the deal could unfairly advantage Windows against competing PC operating systems, like you game a lot on an Apple. Yeah, so it has now 90 days to complete its probe. Wow. The timeline means that the decision would arrive on March the 23rd, 2023 at the latest.
Okay. So So on the heels of this
yes
announcement that they're going to go into this next phase, this gentleman, Ricardo Cardoza,
yeah,
apparently he works within the European Competition Commission. He claims he is not directly involved with this, by the way, now. that tweet has since come out. But he gets on Twitter and he tweets the following after the EU competition basically said it opens an in-depth investigation into the proposed acquisition of Activision Blizzard by Microsoft. He basically quote tweets this and says, "The commission is working to ensure that you will still be able to play Call of Duty on other consoles, including my PlayStation. Also, to on our to-do list, to update stock pictures, these gamers have wired controllers, whereas Xbox and PlayStations have wireless ones since 2006. And this is referencing the picture they used to make the announcement, which had wired controllers in it. I was flabbergasted. This guy literally put this out there. I mean, I'm like, so seriously? You just are openly claiming you have bias on this. It's like, yeah. Okay, so,
hey, the money Sony's spending to dirty the waters is working, so what do you know?
Clearly.
And the funny thing about all that is Microsoft has come out and said, hey, we're not taking it off of PlayStation yet.
We're going to treat it like Minecraft.
Right. Yet it still seems to be a big fucking sticking point. And I just am like, how much more of this do you need? I mean, you know.
Honestly, they need to do more probing.
Always need more probing.
Definitely. Nintendo, they're lowering their sales forecasts, but expect a healthy year. Nintendo has announced a solid quarter of earnings, with revenue for the quarter at 349.5 million yen. That's about $2.3 billion. So, yeah, that's a lot of profit in there as well. So there's 809 million operating profit. It's up by 15.9%, 18.5% over last year, largely in part due to a weaker yen sales outside of Japan and the launch of Splatoon 3. Really? Okay. Yeah, it brought the sales down. Anyway, Switch sales are very, very strong, and they're set lowering its forecast from 21 million to 19 million for 2022. However, it doesn't think that will affect earnings much. So it's hardware, it's this big sales software.
I think the takeaway from that is Nintendo makes money.
Yeah, too right. Yeah. Always has. Fair play to them. Yeah. Do you know what? I remember when they first released that wee like card game. I remember playing it. It was brilliant. We got it. It was brilliant. I was 1910, that was. It was fantastic. Gears of War, live action movie with an animated series are coming to Netflix. Netflix growing stable of video game adaptations now include one of Xbox's best-known franchises. PlayStation have lodged a complaint. The streaming service is teaming with series developer The Coalition to produce a live-action Gears of War movie. There are no details for the cast, plot, or release date, but Beefcakes are asked to apply. Netflix is teasing an adult animated show and the possibility of more stories. Okay. I think an animated Gears of War thing would be pretty cool.
So Dave Bautista has long been rumored around this, okay, right? And he kind of fits the mold. Big muscle guy.
The Rock.
And he has actually wanted to be part of the Gears of War franchise. He even got kind of a cameo character in the series. I'm pretty excited for this, especially because it's Netflix. So if it was Paramount Plus, I'd be a little worried. But it's Netflix, and Netflix has seemingly treated this kind of stuff with the proper reverence and budgets. I think about Witcher. It looks great. Well done. We'll talk about the future of Witcher. But, you know, so I there is a big debate, though. Do they have to be all beefcake guys, or can they be kind of more, I don't want to say normal-ish, but,
like,
you know,
a
Ryan Reynolds, I think, would be perfect potentially in a Gears of War series. You put him in armor. He's muscular enough.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. And he has that good. Danny DeVito could be a grub.
Yeah.
He could be a grub.
Anyway, that sounds good. I can't wait for that. That sounds brilliant. I don't know when it's coming, but cool. And finally, Xbox Cloud Gaming gets a resolution boost on Steam Deck and Chrome OS. Okay, so they're up in the resolution. That's it. That's all we need to say about that, really. It looked better when you're streaming on your handheld Steam Deck.
Yeah, it was Chrome. Funny that they talked about this higher resolution, but they didn't actually get into how much higher it was, right, or what it was. So,
and that's it. That was enough probing and 69ing for 1 week.
I think all we can do is talk about the new releases.
Yeah.
Kim?
Alrighty. Your new releases for November 13th through the 19th are Floodland for the PC on November 15th. One coming for Game Pass is Pentiment for the Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One and PC on the 15th as well, Game Pass. I'm not sure I feel about that one, but who knows. Smurf's Cart for the Switch on November 15th. Somerville, which is also coming for Game Pass on Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One and PC on the 15th. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge for the PlayStation 5 on the 15th. Wise 8, I guess. Lacrimosa of Dana. Whatever the hell all that gibberish is. Anyway, it's a game. It's coming out for the PlayStation 5, go figure, in November. I don't know what day in November, apparently. I didn't get that one down. But it's coming out this week. Call of Duty Warzone 2.0 for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on the 16th. Goat Simulator 3 for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PC, November 17th. Let's see. Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales for the PC on the 18th.
Ooh.
Yeah.
PID. PlayStation people love that.
Right. I can already hear them screaming. PID for the Switch on November 18th. Pokemon Scarlet Letter for the Switch, November 18th.
A Scarlet Letter? Really?
That, I guess. Oh, boy. You've been screwing with these again, haven't you? I don't care. Alrighty! Pokemon, I'm just gonna go with it, because fuck it, at this point, I don't care. Pokemon Parma Violet for the Switch.
I love Parma Violets. Do you remember Parma Violets?
Parmesan. I want Parmesan chicken now.
Remember, yeah. Parma?
I was on the phone. I was on the phone to Mike yesterday, and he says he found some at the bottom of his seats in the car, and he made his day.
Parma Violets were these tiny little hard sweets, sugary sweets that tasted of what? What the tasted of? Air freshener or something.
Tastes like lavender or something.
Lavender, yeah. Yeah, Parma Violets.
Bongo warning on these sometimes.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's Pokemon Scarlet, not a Scarlet Letter, because that's something completely different.
No,
and
it's
Pokemon Violet. So
anyway,
couldn't resist.
Well, I mean, if you can't figure this out by now, you're listening to the wrong podcast. So anyway, Resident Evil 3 for the Switch on November 18th. The Dark Pictures Anthology. Holy shit, my computer went winky. The Devil in Me for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, PC on the 18th.
I feel like that's also probably been an adult picture.
Not by me?
No, not by you. Adult movie.
The Devil in Me.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, those are your new releases that may or may not have been bongo-fied. So there you are. But I figure if you're excited for them, you know what their names are. So titles, whatever. So
Bongo-fied.
Bongo-fied, that's... yes.
A new word. We're just making it into reality.
Bungified. That's it. There you go.
Bungified.
Bungified chicken.
All right, Pete. Pete, I want to ask you a question. If you're hanging out on Wednesday night and you've got nothing better to do.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Nothing.
We know you live out in the sticks, Pete. We know you're not doing anything. So what should you be doing, Pete? Let's talk about this.
Well, I don't know what I should be doing. What should I be doing?
And this is massive the problem failure. With our idiots.
Yeah. Pete, you should be playing Halo or Modern Warfare 2 with me, Pete.
Right.
Come hang out.
Come.
Christ almighty.
It is
hard to find good help.
I was going
to
say, the help you get nowadays, I'm telling you.
Makes one move and suddenly he thinks he's the king. He doesn't have to pay attention to notes or nothing.
Right.
We're still doing PUBG on Friday nights. So far, so good.
I thought this was all changing. There was an administration rule that these games were changing to something else.
There was an administrative rule.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
No,
there was. Last week we were talking about it.
Well, Halo Modern Warfare 2.
You said these nights are changing, and we're no, not the nights, the games are changing. That was right, Robin. Come on, speak up for me. He said that the games are going to change. Oh, my God. Robin's nodding his head like someone who's bullied into a corner.
See, this is the ginger. You know help. That's all I'm going to say. Ginger help. We love you,
Jesus.
Pete. All right. Well, look, Wednesdays, Fridays, 8-9 o'clock in the UK. You'll find me usually on playing during my lunch hour. We'll get some game sessions in. Typically speaking, Wednesdays right now, still Halo. We played a little bit of Modern Warfare 2. Friday nights, PUBG could be a little bit of Warzone.
OBS has died.
Uh-oh.
It's crashed.
Yes, it has. I've set up your live stream. All Robin's fault. Are we still recording this, though? We are still recording this. We can just finish it out. Let's just finish it out.
Okay.
Okay.
Fucking cock cages.
Damn cock cages. Pete, let's talk some shout-outs. You can use shout-out a cock cage if you want.
Woo-hoo! I'm going to shout-out Shell because she overcome a fear of going to the top of the Carillon Bell Tower, which I ain't kidding you. She was like, she was almost hyperventilating. And I managed to nurture her through most of it. Someone who offered me that free tour, he helped along the way as well. He blagged her and said that there was some health and safety risk with her being at the bottom of the stairs. So she had to work her way up. So we managed to get her up to the top. So do you know what? She was dying, man. She was red-faced. She was hyperventilating almost. And she made it to the top. So shout out to Shell. She did it. Shout out to my lad. He's 10 years old, little Leo. Shout out to you guys, because I love you. I'm sorry I come in hot and don't play any video games.
We still love you.
Shout out to Stu as well from the Veteran Gamers. Heard a few things about him. I'm so sorry that you're going through what you are at the moment. I'm really sorry, but, you know, I'm there with you, kid. Don't WhatsApp me because I'll never reply urgently. Ah. But yeah, there we go. I hope you're all right. Okay. Yeah, there's a mention.
Fair play.
I'll hand you over to Kim.
Alrighty. I'm going to mention my Extra Life donors and stuff because I haven't yet, and I probably ought to, even though half of them will never hear this. But what the hell. I'm going to shout out my brother, Tuff, which is not his real name. That's a nickname. My sister, Emily, my friend, Brian, my dad, and of course, Robin and Mark for all making donations. It was very much appreciated. And shout out to Boomer and Martin and Snoogans for dropping in and keeping us awake those last few hours. That was definitely needed because I'm telling you what. But like Tank Top said, it was definitely seemed like it was easier this year, even though it took me like a week to fucking recover from it. But it was definitely easier this year. As always, shout out to you guys. It's always fun. And I needed this after the way this week ended and shit that went on. I won't go into that, but, you know, sad. So thank you for that. And yeah, everybody have a good week. And
go.
Okay.
Cool.
Oh, all right.
Cool.
That's Irish for cool, Kim.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like that video that I put up this week is like, you know, what's the thing you look at in the bathroom? It's a mirror. Yeah. Yeah. What's the chief of a town called? Who's in charge of all the council? He's called the mayor. Yeah. Right. What do you call a male horse? It's a mayor. Yeah.
Female horse.
Yeah, and there was another one, wasn't there? Yes. Went to the
transgender
the third,
horse, Kim.
The third wise man brought to Jesus. He brought him some mare. So, yeah.
Flowers. And I'll send you over to Robin. So.
Yeah, I just want a big shout out to John Lewis. The John Lewis Christmas advert is out this year. They are famous for their Christmas adverts. And this one, fair play to them. It shouts out the care system and foster care. It shows this dad learning how to skateboard because they're waiting for a foster child to come in
to their home, and this foster obviously found out that the foster child loved skateboarding, so the dad goes out to try and teach himself, and spends many a night falling off and making a dick of himself. Very, very much like something I would do.
I was just going to say, Robin, I watched that commercial, and all I kept thinking was, this is Robin. Right? This is absolutely
so,
Robin.
So it's lovely. It's been on. The girls have had it on their underscore love, share, and foster on Instagram. And it's been great for the fostering network. So, yeah, fair play to them. And Joshua, get home safe from Canada. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow again. And thanks, guys. Lovely to podcast with you. And I'm sorry that that cock cage photograph killed OBS.
Was that really what did it?
Yep.
Probably.
But you know what? I didn't even mention it this week.
I did. The toilet was about to be changed to a cock cage, and the cock cage photograph killed OBS.
I don't think I've swore. I don't think I've mentioned that thing.
Oh, it's
good today.
Oh, my goodness. Well, shout out to the listeners. Definitely appreciate them being here, as well as, of course, their support during Extra Life. I'm not going to try and shout out all the Extra Lifers. I sent off a big thank you note to everybody that donated. So fair play to all of you. Thank you for your support. A shout out to angry women drivers road raging in the California highways. Man, I got to tell you, I'm down in the Bay Area and I'm at the hotel and I see this woman walking outside with her mask on, and it just set off that tingle of like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like nobody's around you. You're in a parking garage.
The news of any ship form or description?
No. And then I see the same woman with her entire family, little kid. I mean, like, I don't know, 8 years old with his mask on, mom and dad have their masks on, outside, inside, didn't matter. And I was a Karen at that point. I was just enraged and I wanted to yell at them. I didn't.
Yeah. Didn't. Well, let that makes them feel safe, you know.
I know. Do you? That's fine. But your child's going to forget about what a smile looks like. And that's my point. Anyway, all right, I'm done talking about that. Anyway. I love you guys. I had a blast this week. Thank you. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're good.
Toodles.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.